Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And lost in all the commotion of this week, the John Robinson firing, the Mike Vrabel press conference yesterday, and the Amy Adams Strunk decision to not have a press conference yesterday. Titans still do have a game this week. They are 7-5. They are first place in the AFC South, and they're taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on Sunday. So still a lot on the field for the players to worry about, but most of their time yesterday was spent answering questions about the John Robinson situation, including from quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Here was what Ryan Tannehill had to say yesterday on J-Rob being fired.
Of course, I mean, that's why it's professional football, right? So, you know, we see it every week through guys coming in the building and then out of the building. You know, it's so different. It affects their lives just like it affects, you know, a coach or a GM or anything else, you know. So it's definitely a business, and we're reminded of that each and every week. You know, this week, just different person than we were expecting.
So that was Ryan Tannehill yesterday, and Tannehill also said in his press availability yesterday, it's not his job to try to understand why the owner makes the moves that they make. It's his job to adjust and react to it, and that's what he'll try to do this week as they take on the Jags. Joe, I've said this. I don't think this move really factors in on the field that much at all. Like, I think the roster's pretty much set. I think professional athletes are good at compartmentalizing and focusing on what they need to focus on to get ready for a game. So that's what I expect from the Titans as they take on the Jags. But it is going to be interesting coming down the stretch here to see how the Titans players respond, where they go from here, and what this thing ultimately looks like as they try to close out the regular season and win their third consecutive divisional title.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Good point, by the way, by Tannehill. You know, I mean, I actually appreciate the point. And Byard kind of, same idea. I think you'd get that from a lot of players, you know, basically like, look, we see people lose their jobs constantly in this league, you know, and it's people who, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, you have a young kid at home or whatever the case may be. I mean, like real people, and that's the NFL. He just, obviously this is one of those things that expected. So it's huge news. I mean, there's no question that like it's something everybody's talking about, right, in the locker room. A little different than like if, you know, if a guy comes in off a practice squad, is there for a couple weeks, and you know, you're used to that churn. You're not expecting your GM to be canned when you're in first place, when he's done nothing but win, and when you're in first place, you're trying to make a push. So I agree. Like, I agree with the idea that the message sent is not good to the players. I think the distraction element and the combination of distractions is a concern. I don't feel like there's either way Sunday. It's going to be like, that J-Rob thing was weighing on them if they lose, or they're so mad about J-Rob. Look what they just did to the Jaguars. Sorry, Trevor. You know, you're trying to win. You're trying to do your job. You're trying to stay in the NFL. It's hard to stay in the NFL.
Well, by the way, real quickly on that front, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is day-to-day with the foot injury that he sustained against the Lions. So we'll see what his status looks like as they move forward here. Racy McMath returned to practice yesterday, so his window to return has been activated. And Elijah Molden placed back on injured reserve yesterday as well. And, Joe, we got a question on the text line. I don't think that necessarily means that he's done for the year. I think he would be eligible to come back the last week of the season, but it's not a great sign for Elijah Molden.
Yeah, and we were talking about this yesterday and among the other media people, basically, PUP previously. So, but it's a bad sign. This also brings to mind, I'm glad you brought up Racy McMath, because even though, you know, Kaharski's questions to Vrabel got more attention, I really appreciate it. It was like, hey, Ryan, you know, Racy McMath has two career catches. Why do people think he's a savior? I mean, even Tannehill had to laugh at that one, you know.
It was beautiful.
Yes, but I will say, I'll.
Here we go.
Double down. I actually think Racy McMath returning to this offense could be a nice thing for this offense. We'll see. he and Tannehill were really vibing a little bit, to borrow your favorite word, in camp. And the dude can run. The dude is fast, big, physical, fast, and he has done a lot of work to pick up the nuances of playing the position at the NFL level. Now, I don't know if he's playing this week. Returning to practice doesn't mean he is, but I would not just dismiss that. Karski can talk, two career catches, what are you going to do? You know, he can talk all he wants about that. I actually think McMath could mean something. Could McMean something. How about that?
Wow, look at you. Isn't that kind of an indictment on the roster conversation we've talked about all week long, that Bracey McMath might come in and really mean something for this Titans receiving core?
John Robinson picked him.
I know.
Just saying.
He put together that receiving core, too.
Yeah. No, sure. No, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, there are plenty of holes, and receiver and offensive line are the biggest ones. But I actually thought before he got hurt, you know, I talked about it, and sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm right on these camp things, right? I mean, I thought Austin Hooper and Robert Woods were going to be just, whoo, gangbusters this year. But I did think that Racy McMath, I thought Kyle Phillips was going to matter some too, and he early on, really early on, it looked like he would. But I think McMath can help, and they definitely need it.
They definitely need it. There's no question about that. Like, this is a game you need to win if you're the Titans. You know, distractions aside, and I know it's been a very different week for the Titans with your general manager being fired and the noise around that. But, like, this is a game that, coming off of two performances where offensively at times it's looked awful. Defensively, you got crushed last week against Philadelphia. Like, you need to win this game against Jacksonville. And the Jags are an interesting team from the standpoint, Joe, that some games they play this year, they look like they could be really good. Like, they've got – I think they've definitely upgraded their personnel. They've played some teams really closely this year. And then you have a game like last Sunday where the mighty Detroit Lions, who are on a heater right now that Rex Road won't admit, they come in there and they just absolutely light up Jacksonville. So I have no idea what version of the Jags is going to show up on Sunday. Regardless of which version it is, the Titans need to win this game.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Lions, someone on the text line asked, like, who? And I'm sorry. Like, it was so long ago, I wouldn't be able to find it. I would bring the show to a grinding halt. But someone asked me on there, who is better set up for the future, the Titans or the Lions? Oh, boy. And I quickly said, the Lions ownership situation means it is absolutely the Titans. Period. Okay. Now, and we're talking, and I'm saying that 2 days after Amy Adams Strunk just went all Jerry Jones on everybody and fired John Robinson. So I'm still saying that. And that's the thing. If you know that you have bad ownership and you're consistently demonstrating that, you know, you can have a lot. Occasionally in this league, you're still going to get good a little bit. Like, you happen to run into Barry Sanders, right? And you can't help but be good, but you're also going to screw it up.
Seth on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Racy McMath is Joe's new NWI. Maybe so.
Well, think about one on one side and one on the other side. What are defenses going to do, huh?
Traylon, sit down, man. Don't need you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, by the way, talk about this week. I mean, I have no idea. You do sometimes see players get through concussion protocol the next week, but I would guess he's not playing. So what if McMath isn't ready? You know, I mean, you've got some severe limitations. And then also, by the way, is there any, I mean, has Vrabel, amid all this, having to answer the questions the owner should be getting, like, has he figured out if he should make a change at left tackle? I mean, there's a lot of interesting things here going on with the Titans on the field. This game is not a gimme. I don't believe it is.
No, I mean, look, a lot of that is also, to me, going to depend on the status of Trevor Lawrence. Like, can he play? And if he can, how effective is he going to be? But I agree. Look, the way the Titans' offense is set up right now, there's no game that's a gimme. I mean,
Well, that's right.
And I realize that the Texans game was probably the most dominant 17-10 victory in the history of the NFL. But for the first half of that game, it wasn't. Like, it was a struggle for the Titans, and they finally got Derrick Henry rolling and all that. So, look, you know, the Titans should win this game. I mean, I'm looking at FanDuel right now. The Titans are favored by 3.5 against the Jags. Like, it's going to be a close game.
And of course, I expect someone on the text line to now immediately say, so basically you guys are now saying why John Robinson should have been fired. And again, this offense is in a bad condition. And yeah, this team, you can't take anything for granted right now. I guess you can almost fully take winning the AFC South for granted.
Yeah.
But is it possible this team could absolutely tailspin? If you lose this game, that's certainly on the table.
Yep. I got a texture that says Joe's Kaharski impression sounds more like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, mate. See, this more. Yeah, Mike Tyson. That was bad.
Jeez. Good gracious.
His impression and Jared's impression is the same voice, Joe.
Wait, you're saying that Mike Kaharski and Mike Stillman are the same voices?
Yes.
Slightly different, but they are similar.
Kaharski, I give that New York accent. By the way, yesterday, and you were there, Michelle.
It was overwhelming. It was very overwhelming.
Amazing episode of Stilly and Polly broke out. It was, dude, they were going at each other. It was fantastic. This show is going to be a freaking gold mine. I am trademarking the name.
That's right. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next, including some very interesting comments from Kevin Byard yesterday as well. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is sign up with promo code Rob. We just mentioned the Jags and the Titans coming up on Sunday. I do think the Titans respond. I think they win this game, and I think Derrick Henry is an anytime touchdown scorer that you could take a look at as well. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. They've got great live betting options every single day. So sign up today with promo code Rob for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is Rob. You can make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. We are discussing the Titans, looking ahead to the Jacksonville game, and also trying to get a gauge of the players and where they go from here. It's been a different week. John Robinson gets fired. Lots of distractions for the Titans heading into this week. And Kevin Byard had some interesting comments yesterday on the John Robinson situation. And as Joe pointed out earlier, Kevin Byard, kind of the go-to guy in the locker room when big picture events like this happen with the Titans. Here's what Kevin Byard had to say yesterday in the Titans locker room.
Some treatment up here, got home and seen the news. Obviously, I got a lot of love and respect for John Robinson, the guy who drafted me out of Middle Tennessee State. That decision right there changed my life, my family's life, and the whole trajectory of my family. So I got a lot of love for John and respect. But obviously, in this business, you know, Amy is our owner. You know, she made a decision. And as players and as organization, we have to respect that decision that she made to move on from John. But at this point, you know, especially talking about today and this week, as players, we have a job to do. And as coaches, we have a job to do. And that's to go out here and put our best foot forward and attack this day and prepare for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everything that we want to accomplish and that we set to accomplish this year during the offseason training camp is still right in front of us, to go out there and win a division and make a run in this playoff and try to go win a championship. So that doesn't change. It's not going to change at all. So my main focus this week is to go out there and study as much as I can to prepare for a Jacksonville team who may be 4-8, but I think out of their six losses, it's a one-point game. So they're a really good team, so we have to make sure we're preparing for them as much as possible and not let, you know, any of this, you know, this news and any outside distraction deter us from our goal.
Mike said that he conveyed a message from John to you guys. What was that?
I mean, pretty much what I said, just make sure that, you know, don't let this be a distraction. Try to go out and go win a football game. I shot John a text yesterday when I found out about everything. But, yeah, he just wanted us to make sure that, you know, as me personally, just continue to lead. And like I said, don't let the news, you know, become a distraction.
A move of that magnitude, like, what type of message does that send to you guys in the locker room? Because you know how sometimes, like, you change a quarterback, you get that spark.
Nah, exactly.
This is a GM, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, nothing's really changed. I mean, I don't – as of right now, I can't say or not, but, I mean, still going to have the same guys out there on defense. Obviously had some injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these decisions, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see the guy who drafted me get fired or whatever, but it is what it is. We got to respect that decision. So, like I said, I'm just trying to make sure I'm doing the best I can as a leader to just not let it be a distraction. Like, we get to talking about this conversation, that conversation. Like, hey, we got the Jaguars this week. Bottom line, we got to find a way to get an 8-5.
That was Kevin Byard yesterday in the Titans locker room. And, you know, as you said, Joe, the guy that you really go to when big picture events like this happen, it's also one of those things, too, where – you know, he did point out in his comments that he, you know, his wife and John Robinson's wife, very close. This is obviously, there is a human part of this that, especially for guys like Byard and Henry, who have been around for a long time and have been around the organization for a long time, I'd assume you've got a pretty good personal relationship with John Robinson as well. Like, it's, you got to put that aside and go prepare for a football game. Like, that balance is pretty interesting this week. And, you know, as far as the message that was being sent, obviously a strong one from maybe Adam Strunk. We talked about that a lot yesterday, but Byard says, look, I want to win a championship too. This is something that all the goals are still right out in front of you. If you're this Titans team, we all think we know how this is going to end. We think with the Titans are going to win the division, and we think they're probably going to be 1-done at the most, 2-done in the playoffs. We think we know that, but if you're a player, like, you can't think that way.
No, exactly. And, I thought he laid it out there pretty well. Again, later he said, yeah, again, you kind of got back around to believe, you know, do you believe this team can win a championship? And, you know, Byard's like, I want to win a championship my damn self, you know? And and also then he was also later asked about, like, what about your, I don't remember, it might've been either Corey or Carson, but it was basically like, what about your own security? And the guy who drafted you is gone. And he kind of shrugged it off. And I would say to that, Kevin Byard has also seen John Robinson trade Jarrell Casey away, you know, yep. And I mean, make moves that are like, boom, sorry, you're out. I mean, he's an NFL GM. These things happen. So I don't buy at all that, I mean, when Byard is perceived to be not playing up to the value of his contract by John Robinson or whoever else is in charge of personnel here, that'll be it. And he knows that.
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, just from his standpoint, from the players in the room, like, it's pretty clear. Vrabel, one thing he's really good at, I think on a weekly basis, is whatever his message is, he nails that into the team, and they basically, like, regurgitate that all week long, and that's been the case all season. A little bit of that yesterday from the Titans as well in terms of moving forward here. I think Jeffrey Simmons at one point yesterday said, I won't be rude, but I'm kind of done talking about the J-Rob situation here. So, I mean, that doesn't really surprise me from a player point of view there, but I am interested to see how the Titans play coming up on Sunday. If they lose the game, there will be a whole lot of, man, that sure was a distraction for the Titans this week. Look, I think there's a chance they could lose the game regardless of what the circumstances were, but if they do, Joe, it'll be a lot of what we hear on Monday.
Right, and it'll be asked of Vrabel after the game, and he will reject the idea out of hand. And then I may have a truth serum dart gun.
You know, working on that.
True. And then he'll be like, yep, Amy screwed us. Now, I mean, I don't know if he would actually believe that. I just don't think that this is going to really impact their performance. Other than, again, if you're losing time, if you're somehow losing intensity of focus or whatever because you're just distracted by all this stuff, then that's where it could, like, again, I don't think there's some like emotional impact of this that hurts the team. But also, if this distracts you from the focus of trying to win a football game in the NFL, which is very hard to do, or the constant, I mean, even if you're a star player, really, but for just about everybody on the roster, the constant need to be vigilant about keeping yourself in the NFL, then you got bigger issues.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the big picture discussion with the Titans. Vrabel's had his press conference. John Robinson's been fired. We haven't heard anything outside of the statement from A.B. Adam Strunk. What do you think, Titans fans? 615-737-1025. Where is this team headed? What do you make of the direction for the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. We got a little Thursday night football tonight. We got the LA Rams. Looks like Baker Mayfield might have a chance to play tonight. And we also have the Raiders. Devontae Adams has really been doing well lately with Derek Carr. But listen, the Raiders are a 7-point favorite. It's moved up. It was at 6.5 this morning. They're now a 7-point favorite. I do think that is too big of a spread. I think this is going to be a close game. So I'm going to take the Rams plus the 7. I will take the Raiders, though, on the money line. And I think if you want to throw in a couple other things in there, you can do a Devontae Adams anytime touchdown. But listen, you want to make extra money this holiday season? Superbook is here to help you because you can win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. So if you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Join 1025, 106.3 The Game tonight at ML Rose Capital View location at 431 11th Avenue North for a Preds watch party as the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at 6 o'clock. You can come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Once again, puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. We are talking Titans. And opening up our phone lines at 615-737-1025. The moves have been made. John Robinson has been fired. Mike Vrabel had his press conference yesterday. What do you make of this week? What do you make of the direction the Titans are headed? Let us know. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, from the Vrabel press conference yesterday, were you able to, kind of reading between the lines, discern anything as far as what his role could be, what his role will be moving forward, not from a coaching standpoint, but from a personnel standpoint with Mike Vrabel?
Well, I think the one thing that I would take away is if Mike Vrabel didn't want any more control or, you know, didn't want any change in the way things go, he could have said that. Now, you could still argue, if you're his agent or something, don't say anything. There's no reason to say anything. Don't say anything. But he could have quashed it a little bit, you know, with a lot of questions that various of us had revolving around the idea of Mike Vrabel just having more power, having more same personnel, possibly being the GM coach or at least being a coach. And there are some in this league who have final say. You know, Kaharsky made the point yesterday, yeah, there's one guy, it's Belichick. And that's true. He's, as far as I know, the only, like, absolutely, like, he has both jobs. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he was arguing that Carroll is not the case. I've seen other people argue that Carroll, it is the case. Bill O'Brien, it was the case. Sean Payton, it's been reported, it was the case. Chip freaking Kelly, apparently, had final say. So, Sean McVay, does he have final say? There's a lot of final say coaches. That's different, right?
Right.
First of all, if you're a Titans fan, root for that being the extent of it, and not an actual, like, Belichick setup. I don't think the Belichick setup's a good idea. And I think that non-Tom Brady years kind of hammer that home a little bit, you know. But from Vrabel, I took away he's open to it. I can't – like, he's open to more. He's open to more power. He's open to – because if he wasn't, he could have said, no, the next GM's going to come in, it's going to be exactly the same. I'm going to coach the team. That's my focus. I coach football. And then, you know, we'll collaborate like I did with John, and that's that. And so he could have said something along those lines and basically didn't. I think some of his non-answers said something yesterday.
Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier in the show. Like, to me, we've talked about the timing of it from the A.J. Brown standpoint to fire John Robinson, and that's certainly a factor. I would also say the timing of it in the middle of the season from this standpoint better be a factor. Like, if you're firing John Robinson when the team is 7-5 in first place in the AFC South and you're doing it while you're still playing football, like, you better have a plan. Like, you better have a defined plan of what you want to do, whether that's giving Mike Vrabel more power, whether that's basically making him the head coach and the GM, whether it's giving him more power and hiring another GM who's a GM in name only, or maybe you've identified somebody out there with another team and another front office, whatever the case may be, that you believe is the person that you want to lead the team. Regardless of what it is, and I don't know what it is for the Titans, we'll find out at some point what that plan looks like. But you better have that nailed down before you make a move to fire John Robinson, in my mind. If not, then you're just kind of wandering through the wilderness right now trying to figure it out as you go. And I don't know why you'd fire your GM if you don't have a specific plan of what you want to do in place.
Yeah, no, I agree. If it's just like, well, it's not going to work out, so let's figure it out. In the meantime, you're fired. I mean, there's just no – and again, this is why initially the what the heck happened? What did John do? What's a real story? I get it. But now I would hope we can move forward and just understand, look, it was either just fed up and you're fired and we're going to figure it out, or it's what you said, which would be a lot better for the Titans, which is fed up and I've been thinking about this for a while. And I know what I'm going to do next, and we may as well just go ahead and end it now, and then the plan will be set into motion.
I got a texter that says we need to give Peyton Manning a call and see about him being a GM.
Yes. I think – well, I mean, can you imagine what about John Gruden as his assistant GM? I mean, you tell me who's going to, do better than that.
Well, in all seriousness, I have wondered if one day Peyton Manning gets into a management type role. I don't know if that would be the wisest move for the Titans at this point.
No, I will agree. That's if he's not going to do, and I think he's enjoying. Yeah, it's like a lot of people go into media, obviously, and he's done very well, just like Tony Romo has. So you can make a ton of money, still be around the game, and have a lot of fun and not have that pressure. And I kind of feel like that's where it's going to be with him. But then sometimes people get the competitive juices flowing. I mean, Jeff Saturday didn't say no when Jim Irsay called him up and said, "Hey, Jeff, what do you think, buddy?"
Yeah.
He said yes. So at some point, would Peyton Manning actually want to re-enter the competitive arena? If he does, it would definitely be in that capacity, right? Not coaching. Although I think, you know, maybe it could be like AD of the Vols and GM of the Titans and kind of live in Cookeville, maybe.
Look, I still wonder with some of these contracts that are being thrown around for these roles like Tony Romo. I mean, Brady signed a 10-year, $375 million contract. Like, you can't tell me that type of money wouldn't at least be intriguing to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, for sure. What was the contract?
For Say Brady? It was 10 years, $375 million with Fox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure. No, I mean, the money's massive. It really comes down to, I think sometimes you miss that competitiveness, right? You miss And in a lot of cases, it's like people, you know, who were players you competed with are now doing those things. And you're like, I want to go in there and win a freaking Lombardi, you know, that's because, yeah, you're right. I mean, and with Manning, I would say, first of all, I think that's a ridiculous, I'm not convinced that Brady's going to be great.
I'm not
in
either.
That way. I think that it's just like, remember how everybody's like, oh my God, Drew Brees. And then I'm like,
well, he's eventually going to have to stop playing football too.
Well, that's true. But like the absolute people fall all over themselves for Drew Brees. He's not very good.
No.
He's boring. I mean, not everybody's going to be Tony Romo, this like gushing, like 11-year-old who also can break down the X's and O's like that for you before every play. It's just like you just don't have that. It's like, oh, Jason Witten. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that Brady's going to be all that good at this. Now, Manning is great. Manning, because he's funny.
Yeah.
And he also can give you that. He can condense it really quick and distill it for you if you love football. But anyway, I don't know. Peyton Manning, who knows? Many jobs could be available to him.
SD and Franklin on the text line says, even though the timing's different, last time the Titans dismissed the winning personnel in Malarkey, it turned out for the better of the franchise. I would give ownership the benefit of the doubt here that this will lead to improvement. This is from SD on the text line. That is a fair take.
It is a fair take. And look, I was wrong on that. I didn't like the move. I threw a big tantrum in the Tennessean. I'm sure I could find that link for you. You know, I thought it was ridiculous to fire Mike Malarkey at that point. And that was John Robinson basically winning that power struggle, sending him out. And I believe that Mike Vrabel was in mind with him. From the start, and obviously it's worked out well. And I was wrong. It was a good move. And I have no idea how this is going to turn out. Right now, the information we have, I think it's a mistake.
Cody on the text line says, what are the chances Vrabel is announced as the GM at the end of the season and we're looking for a new coach? This is from Cody on the text line.
Yeah, he's not – no, he's not going to be just GM. I'm pretty confident in that one.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, Vrabel, first of all, again, like we talk about money and stuff, and we've talked about this before, talk about it again. Vrabel doesn't need to be doing this from a financial perspective unless he really wants to buy an island. I mean, he's, you know, he made more than $20 million as a player. I think he does this because he's always wanted to be a coach, and obviously he's really good at it. He's going to be a football coach. It's just a matter of, you know, some coaches – Nick Saban didn't get to pick his groceries, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to Alabama. And some coaches grow very tired of that and want to have that control, and that's really the question. Does he want that? Is that a key for him moving forward?
Joe, real quickly, we have some breaking news in the NFL that I think is probably going to upset you, so I'm glad you're sitting down for this discussion as we bring it up. But Ian Rappaport has put it out there that the Atlanta Falcons are looking to the future at quarterback, making a switch to rookie Desmond Ridder. The Marcus Mariota quarterbacking in Atlanta is done. Desmond Ridder, now the starting quarterback for the Falcons, apparently.
You know, I wonder if had the Bucs not had that insane comeback Monday, would that have happened? Maybe, but that kind of, like they would still be right there to win the division had that not happened. I figured at some point this year, there's a decent chance it happened. You know, Mariota, I thought had some good moments, had some bad moments, was decent. I think we've kind of seen, right? He's a fringe starter in the NFL. I'm glad he got another opportunity because I just thought it was a mistake to go try to have that opportunity with the Raiders. I think he should have gone to Chicago, but I'm glad that he had the opportunity. And you kind of see what he is, you know, he's a guy who is good enough to start for like a handful of teams in the league.
You were not as heartbroken as I thought you'd be.
Well, I mean, look, we joke about Mario. Well, I mean, your hatred for Mariota is very, you know, it's ridiculous.
As but, I often you know, say, we love Marcus Mariota here on this program.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that we're a unified front on that matter, but, no, I have thought definitely more of him as a player than you have. But, I mean, look, there's a reason that the Titans took off when they made that quarterback switch, which, by the way, I also didn't like at the time. I mean, we can go back. Boy, I got a lot of takes to end up a Titans fan. So there's where you should really, you know, be excited. Maybe this Amy Adams Smart move is just exactly what this team needs to go win at Lombardi. I thought more of him than you did, but like Ryan Tannehill's a much better quarterback than Marcus Mariota. That I want to know, anybody on the text line.
Oh God,
you disagree with that? Because sometimes we've seen that this year, right?
I know.
We've seen people say, never should have let Mariota go. Like, it's amazing. Like, every take you could possibly make up, someone actually has it.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the direction, the aftermath of the decision to fire John Robinson? 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This Sunday following the Titans game, tune in for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show brought to you by Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, now with a huge inventory of in-stock vehicles to choose from. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the San Francisco 49ers at 3:25. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Ron on the text line says, in the Army, you don't always agree with your commanding officer, but you must still follow him and his directions. Same here with Amy. Titans will be fine. She wants more for this team. I don't think there's any question. Look, I don't question Amy Adams Strunk wanting more for the team. Like, I fully believe that. I fully believe she wants to win a Super Bowl. All those things. All those things are great. Is this the best path to get there? That's what we're going to find out. And obviously, that answer is still left to be determined. We don't know what the plan is. We don't know if Mike Vrabel is going to have more say-so in roster construction. We don't know if he's going to have final say. We don't know if they've got a specific general manager candidate in mind. All those things are answers that we just don't have at this point. But this is a bold move, a bold decision by Amy Adams Strunk. And no question about it, we're going to look back on this move, regardless of how it goes one day, Joe, as a turning point in the franchise one way or the other.
Yeah. And look, again, Amy Adams Strunk's body of work as controlling owner is very good. But John Robinson's body of work as GM, in my opinion, overall, has also been very good. It's an interesting analogy. I would tell you that if you want to make that analogy with NFL ownership, then the Lions are Colonel Klink leading everyone to march into the ocean. You know, I mean, it's
nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the billionaire owner of a football team. And if you are a consumer of the product who helps enrich the owner, then I think it's okay for you to you can think whatever you want. You can love it, and I think a lot of Titans fans do, and you can also question it and want her to answer the really burning question now of what is the plan? What is
I got a text that says, given the possibility that A.J. Brown's performance in last week's game was the tipping point for the firing of John Robinson, can you guys think of any precedent for that sort of thing happening where a player's performance ending up getting his previous general manager fired in the middle of a season? I mean, the short answer is no, I cannot.
No. I'm trying to think, and this is actually, it's a good question because I should have been thinking about this, not even just in the NFL, but like, are there cases? Okay. Who the heck? Well, Pocklington was the owner in Edmonton, right? Obviously. Cause like the Gretzky trade to the Kings.
Yeah.
Was like, but the thing is like, that was ownership. So it's not like that was like the GM talked ownership. I think this is a good idea, guys. Yeah. What? Trust me.
I think we ought to trade Wayne Gretzky.
you know.
That's your Canadian accent.
I just threw him. Hey, man, we should just really, the show should be a lot more impersonations. It's just, it's like, you know,
I said.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. There's got to be some great examples of a bad trade that got a GM fired. But to repeat, and, you know, I gave Nick Suss a vote of confidence. He's probably kind of busy at the Tennessean writing all kinds of stuff right now. But, again, he went back and got back to 2000 to find any GM fired with a winning record in season. Could not find one. If you tell me that you can't find one in the history of the NFL, I'm not surprised. Okay? So, again, this is, like, in the proper context, this is a wild one.
Well, I have no doubt that there have been trades that have gotten general managers fired.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that there – I would love to know if there have been trades that have gotten the general manager fired immediately after playing against the traded player when you have the type of success that John Robinson has had from a winning and a record standpoint in their league, regardless of what league it is.
Again, it's kind of like it's another scene in the bad football movie that we're creating here in Nashville right now. You know? I'd love to know too. So not willing to do the work to find out, but if someone else does, please let us know on the text line or on Twitter.
So I asked this to you earlier, but for those who may have missed it, do you think that there's any chance that we hear from Amy Adams Strunk before the end of this season? She didn't talk yesterday. We know that. Do you think that there is any chance that we hear from her in a press conference setting before the end of this season?
No, I don't think so. I'd love to think so. I think it'd be great. And if she reconsiders in 3 weeks, you know, good for her. But my guess is that the next time that she takes questions from reporters, other than an unscheduled someone gets her getting out of her limo or something. I mean, I think the next time she answers questions would be when they introduce the new GM, assuming they hire a new GM.
Yes.
I mean, look, we've totally not talked at all about Ryan Cowden possibly getting the job.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that at 0%. Ryan Cowden's good and he's been pursued by other NFL teams. It's just, if you've lost faith in what John Robinson is doing, to me, that kind of says you've lost faith in what his staff is doing, right?
You would think. And also, I know that you can't worry about perception being everything in a job like this, but I can tell you the perception for me, if it's me, if Cowden is the one that they end up hiring as a general manager, to me, my perception is, okay, well, Mike Vrabel's really the GM at that point. And maybe he is, maybe he wouldn't be, but that would be the perception that I would have. And I don't think I would be alone there.
I don't think you'd be on an island there, no.
So I'm interested to see what happens on that front. Good thing is, Joe, it's probably going to be a while before we find out. Like, I don't imagine this is going to be something that is just handled in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's like basically now this shocking situation, and then it'll fade. And I don't know, I guess Jared will keep wondering if Vrabel was doing like the limbo on the plane or something coming back from Green Bay and like fell and, you know, broke something in the plane. But, you know, for the most part, we move forward and you were just going to see what this team can do. You know, they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. They could win a home playoff game. It'll go field, but that question will still be out there. You know, if you're someone who really cares about this team, the question is just going to be lingering out there for a while of like, what's the plan? What's the vision? What's the direction?
I'm pulling for the Super Bowl so they can give J-Rob his Super Bowl ring after it's all said and done. I think that'd be awesome.
And double bird.
Yeah. Just wear the Super Bowl ring.
That'd be, you know, and the thing is, like, imagine he shows up to get the ring, but also he's wearing an Indianapolis Colts polo because now he is the Colts GM. I mean, this is an amazing movie we're creating right now.
We're really getting in there. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase Whelan and D-Mace is coming up next. They'll have Tim Hasselbeck coming up at 11, Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.